I'm not usually a fan of microphones. I like to talk with my hands a little bit, so holding something is kind of strange to me, and I like to walk around some too. So, all right. My name is Sean Hawkins. I'm a natural farmer, student and teacher of regenerative agriculture. I grow mushrooms, collect seeds, ferment things, and I guess now I can say international speaker. So, awesome. thank you. If you want to start the first video, start the underground. No?
So we have.
Each day when the sun rises, it bathes the earth in photons of light energy. Plants capture this energy, combining with CO2 and water, creating simple sugars, converting the sun's rays into a physical molecule. This converted carbon and light is used to make stems, leaves, fruits, bark, and power all the necessary metabolic functions for its life. But 70% of this sugar is moved underground, down into the root system, where it's secreted as exudates to feed the fungal and bacterial life in the soil. In exchange for this food source provided by the plant, these microbes return nutrients, water, and protection from pathogens, while also decomposing dead organic matter to be recycled back into the system. They are the end, but they're also a new beginning. These fungal and bacterial bodies attract, support, and feed a web of higher, more complex life forms, speeding up this nutrient recycling system, making all the components available that the plant needs for complete genetic expression. These microorganisms are the base foundational structure of all life on Earth. They are responsible for holding up our entire food chain, and we must move forward with their presence in mind. A single teaspoon of healthy soil contains more microbes than we have people on the planet. This never-ending dance of life and death is how new soil is created, and without this process, we would not be here today. Fungal strands grow, branch, and rebranch in every direction to form a three-dimensional web called a mycelium network, binding the soil together, preventing erosion while retaining water and nutrients inside their cell walls. This network can span hundreds of miles and functions much like the internet when they form symbiotic relationships with nearby plants. But instead of sending ones and zeros, they use this fungus much like our brain neurons, creating chemical signals to communicate with other plants, trading nutrients back and forth, and relaying warning information in the event of pest or pathogen attack, signaling to its kin to activate its immune system and start creating its own defenses. This fungal network is also used as a microbial superhighway, allowing bacteria to use its pathways inside and out to move across vast distances, transporting vital water and nutrients directly where they are needed in this shared fungal community. For the first time in human history, we have begun to understand this universe that dwells below our feet, and we are just scratching the surface. An endless void of knowledge awaits those who wish to travel the path of understanding our partnership with Mother Earth. This is life. This is nature. An infinite symphony of wonder and magic that connects us all.
It doesn't matter how many times I watch that, I get chills every single time. You know, for a long time, little echo. For a long time, you know, this was just in my head. You read all the books and you kind of visualize it. And then when I saw that documentary, I was like, oh my God, this is it. I can now bring this to everyone else and show everyone how all this works in a very concise, precise manner. I think understanding what's happening is a big part of how we move forward, understanding how these microorganisms work in the soil so that you can have these conversations with other people whenever they start talking about tillage or chemicals or pesticides and things like that. You have a deeper understanding. So. My name is Sean Hawkins. I have started a company called Cultivated Mind. I do mushroom supplements. I grow all of them on site. And I'm trying to heal the world. I've been on quite the journey to get here. We are on a winding path with many forks and detours. Be sure to read the signs. This is my lovely wife, Jen. She and I have been on a path of healing for the last year or two, and she's given me permission to tell this story. But she was in a really terrible relationship before she met me, very abusive and very controlling, and it caused her a lot of mental anguish. She started to go see a psychiatrist, and this psychiatrist prescribed her a pill, and that gave her side effects, and prescribed her another pill. And as it went on and on, and had these conversations with the psychiatrist, maybe 30 minutes, hey, let's give her another pill. And by the end of it, she was on 9 different antidepressants, SSRIs, and rescue drugs. Over the course of the first year when I met her, we had to make some drastic changes, and it was quite the fight. But through a change of diet, a change of environment, and some mushroom supplements that I created, she is now completely free of all pharmaceuticals. It's so wonderful to be able to bring this, to be able to see it firsthand. I have some other stories of some other family members and stuff that kind of wish to be anonymous, but I have seen the healing power of diet and environment, and in this case, which I had the medicine available to me as mushrooms. I do believe our food is medicine. We have sort of taken that medicine away from our food in the process. And I think that we should look at that real quick. It's important to look at the bad things. Every mental advance of man arises from the suffering of the soul. Embrace your grief, for there your soul will grow. You know, it is really the part of the same coin, two sides of the same coin. We have to look at the bad so that we can actually experience the good, for we won't know what the good is. The nutritional density of crops has declined by over 80% since the start of a chemical agriculture. Almost 100 years ago, whenever World War II ended, we had this huge influx of ammonium nitrate, and it was just sitting in stockpiles. So we started to put it on the soil, and we get this huge boom of growth. Of course, you add nitrogen to the soil, you're going to get cell growth. It's going to be very weak, supple cell growth, but it's going to grow. And we have definitely seen the detriment of using these things over time. It has led to a massive epidemic of leaky gut syndrome. And look at that number one cause on there. The standard American diet, or SAD, as I like to call it. This has a huge downstream effect and has led to an epidemic of diseases. And if you notice there, it also says stress and emotional trauma. So you can actually affect your gut biome by your trauma. Our mental powers are very, very powerful. They can control many things in our bodies. And if we're in the wrong mind state, then our bodies will be in the wrong state as well. especially over the last 20 years when we started adding glyphosate to our soils, we've had an exponential rise in autism and an exponential rise in many different types of diseases, from Crohn's to diabetes to, pretty much anything across the board, cancers. Everything is really being exponentially expanded due to our inputs. You know, we think that we can take something and isolate it and we can make it better. You know, science. You know, science has gotten us to the point where we're at now. And I love science. I love technology. I think that it can be used in a beneficial way, in a benevolent way. And these types of connections, these types of groups, I think are going to be the ones that do it. We're going to go out there and we're going to share this information and we're going to teach other people who are just kind of on the fence. And it's going to be a beautiful thing. Now, the next slide, it's going to be a little weird. I truly believe that this unhealthy gut biome has led to our unhealthy minds, and it has led to the drastic political divide that we're experiencing right now. I remember a time when Republicans and Democrats could talk to each other with no problems. I mean, you get the occasional little thing that you sort of have a disagreement about, but there weren't divides in our family, divides in our friends. We were able to actually communicate and talk to each other. The body and the mind are not separate. What affects one affects the other. The degradation of our bodies has led to the degradation of our minds. And this is now being proven by science, some benevolent science, I believe. It's led to the discovery of our gut-brain axis. There is direct correlations between the lining of our guts and the linings of our brains. And when we don't take care of our gut biomes, we end up putting things into our brains that lead to mental disabilities and mental disorders. You can see right there across the top, it says this leads to depression-related psychological changes in the brain. So, if you look over on the picture with the gentleman with the brain, we have some solutions, actually. Diet being number one. We change our diet, we will change the health of our gut biomes. You know, especially in America, we have a lot of sugar and preservatives and all kinds of, isolates to make a safe food. You know, our safe food process, while with a general health in mind to not make someone sick, in turn has created over time long-term detriments that you don't notice, because when a company gets sued, they get sued whenever someone is hurt immediately, but they don't get sued whenever that damage happens over the course of time, because you can't pinpoint one specific thing. So let's bring it on out of the trenches and let's find some answers. The complete genetic expression of our food. In order to achieve this, plants need microorganisms. With our chemical ag, we can complete the two bottom stages of this pyramid to have our plants complete their reproduction cycles. This is all that they need to technically live. And this is where we're at right now. And we are missing the top two parts of this health. And those top two require microorganisms. They cannot be achieved without the help of fungus and bacteria. These secondary metabolites that plants create whenever they are at their healthiest peak are what truly become the medicine in our food. And we wouldn't need to take a bunch of supplements. We wouldn't need to be going to the doctor all the time. Yes, and another great thing about this. Once you achieve this, you will never have to spray for bugs or diseases in your plants, ever. They will be able to heal themselves. They have the abilities, they have the compounds inside their cells to be able to fight off insects. whenever a plant can properly take up enough calcium and it gets in between the cell walls and mixes with pectin, the bug will come along, take a bite, get this big old mouth full of pectate, and it spits it out, and it's like, I do not like this plant. I'm going to go somewhere else. So the key to all this is biology. Our fertility is directly tied to the biology in the soil. There's a downstream effect that leads from the microbes to our plants, to our animals, to our bodies. And when we take care of this soil biology, we will take care of ourselves. The soil food web. What you saw in that video is very intricate and detailed and complicated, and there are so many things going on that we can barely even study it. Trying to study something under a microscope, that when you start to understand the way that a slide works, and you put a drop of water onto a slide, and you put that underneath the microscope, and you start to focus in, you'll notice that you can focus inside this little tiny drop, and it becomes like this big. This is how deep your slide is whenever you put a drop of water on there.
It's like this big.
Can you imagine how much is going on in the soil if I can only look at one drop at a time? And in fact, y'all want to do a group activity? The answer is yes. So I'm going to do something, and I want you guys to follow along with me real quick. I'm going to hum, and I want you to try to match my tune for as long as possible. Okay? Did you feel that? This is what's happening in the soil when it's thriving. It is in synchronicity, and it developed what's called quorum sensing, when they really activate themselves and they start producing all their secondary metabolites because they are in a kind of a dangerous situation. They form relationships with each other. They also form little conglomerates to fight off pathogens. They change the function of pathogens that go from disease-related to beneficial. Something that would normally destroy and eat your plant can still be in the soil, but it will no longer attack the plant because of the presence of the other microbes. It cannot even get to the plant. It will go off and find a rock somewhere and chew on the rock instead. So this killing things, this taking out disease, is not the answer. We need as many different microorganisms in the soil as we possibly can provide, because even those pathogens, when they are destroyed and eaten, become data for the other microbes to use in their fight against them. Just like our DNA, whenever we suffer a disease or something and our body cures ourselves of that disease, it remembers it. It encodes it into our DNA, and the next time that we run into that disease, it's really not that big of a problem. And we fix our soil with indigenous microorganisms. We take wild fungal collections from the forest, or we take bacterial collections from healthy parts of our soil, and then we then introduce them into our farms. We can take the power of the forest, a healthy area, and we can introduce it into our forest, just like you can do with your gut biome. One of those things on there that I mentioned that were helpful for our gut biome is called FMT, or fecal matter transplant. It's a little gross, I know. But we take the fecal matter from a healthy person and we put it into a capsule or a suppository and we give it to a sick person that has gut issues. Those gut issues will be cured by the healthy person's gut biome. It has been revolutionary, and this is happening on a grand scale now, especially in Japan and the Asian countries. They are finding great success with FNT transplants. I'm also going to be doing a workshop on how to make these microorganism collections. I don't really have time right now to go through all the recipes, but at 6 o'clock, there's like a 15-minute walk over to the other venue. I'll be out here and I'll direct people if you would like to go, and I will show you the recipes on how to take these collections, grow them out, and apply them in your farm. So if you guys want to join us, that's where I'll be. This information is designed for educational purposes only and is not provided as a professional service or medical advice for specific patients. It is not a substitute for professional medical care. And if you have or suspect you may have a health problem, you should consult your health care provider. I know I have to do that. It's unfortunate, but you know, let's keep us all legal here. Fungus as food. I've now been growing mushrooms for a couple of years. Of course, studying Korean natural farming, studying Jadam, and natural farming has led to this. It has been a great help in growing mushrooms, actually. And I didn't realize that the procedures I was doing in natural farming would relate so closely to mushrooms. It's been a wonderful journey. It has been a very quick and stressful journey, but I'm so glad to be here. I think that the universe tests you to see if you really want something. And if you can push through that test, push through that stress, and get to that beautiful goal at the end, it is so worth it. Again, so we got lion's mane. I grow a lot of lion's mane. There are some in vitro studies showing that lion's mane actually regrows neurons in your brain. There is a neuroplasticity about the brain where it actually can heal itself. You know, when I was a kid, someone told me that you know, they used to do, kids would like turn their faces real red, you know, whenever they're mad or something, and they're like, oh, you're killing brain cells, and they'll never come back. We can get those brain cells to come back. Of course, the face red kids is probably not that healthy either. These mushrooms are choice and delicious, and they also have wonderful immune benefits. Shiitake has an increased immune function. It has a lot of vitamin D. It has high protein profile. Mushrooms, if you're a vegan and you need more protein in your diet, mushrooms are an excellent way to do it. The average, I think, is about 16% protein. And I'm now hearing of companies that are producing mushrooms up to 35% protein. That's wild. I mean, you're talking about the same amount as meat or more. So, and maitake is delicious. It actually grows wild where I'm at. Tastes like chicken a little bit. And that actually causes what's called an immunomodulation. Instead of just giving you an immune boost, which is not great for everyone, you can have a hyperactive immune system, it actually will either do both. It will give you an immune boost, or it will give you an immune suppression if you need it and put you into homeostasis. You don't, we have this thing in America especially where it's like more, more, more. Well, how about balanced? How about the correct amount? And if you would like to snap a picture of these steps here, I'm going to show a video here in a second about how to grow your own mushrooms at home. It's really simple and easy. And I think everyone should have access to this. If you have wood logs on your property, you can grow mushrooms. Preferably hardwood. I like to use oak, but any type of hardwood will do. So you can find yourself a fresh cut hardwood log, preferably cut in December or January, or in the winter months at least, because the tree will take all of its energy and store it into the trunks instead of trying to produce fruits and leaves where that's all its energy will go. So if you cut it in the middle of its budding phase, you might not get as good of a mushroom flush from it. So once you have your log, you will then do this. Please play the log video. You'll need a drill, and you will...
We have cut this down in December, been a couple of weeks. Now we're ready to inoculate with our dowel rods. These dowel rods have a fungus growing on them. This is a reishi. And we're going to be using this today to inoculate our logs. You could technically use a fresh mushroom depending on the species. Shiitake might not work. oyster will probably work really good, where you take a fresh mushroom that you find in the forest and you clean it off with some distilled water, and you will end up using that in place of these. Again, your results may vary. These dowel rods are inoculated specifically for log growing. They're very effective. All right, I have a drill here. We put a piece of tape on it so that we don't go too deep on our dowel rods, and we're gonna make 4-inch holes, 4-inch spaced holes across the surface of our log. All right, now that we've done that, we're gonna take our dowel rods, put them in. Now, you will do this on every side of the log. I've already pre-drilled the holes here, but on all four sides, you're gonna do the same thing. You're gonna space the holes about 2 inches over from the one next to it. Got everything sort of shoved in there. It's not going down all the way. Get yourself a hammer, sort of tap them in the rest of the way. Now, we're going to seal each one of these. And the reason you want to seal them is because if you don't, they will dry out, or a bug might get in there, and they might infect our dowel rods. So we're going to take a little bit of wax. I have some unscented candle wax. Cheese wax is really great for this. My little wax melter, and we're just going to seal up each one of these holes, so we can keep things having bug infection and drying issues. All right. In a pinch, you could use petroleum jelly if you don't have anything else, but we do prefer to use wax here. Once you have put your dowel rods in, you've got everything sealed, now's the time to go place your log in a shaded area. This spot gets shade all day, so I'm also going to put this on the ground. That way it does not dry out. You make sure that you keep these logs moist. If they dry out, you're going to start having problems with the fruiting process. So if you live in a dry climate, you might want to come out here and water every week or two. You can soak them by putting them into some water for maybe 30, 45 minutes, or you can put a sprinkler on them for a couple of hours. That first part of their life is kind of vital for their moisture levels. After about 6 months to a year, depending on when you have done this process, you will start to notice mushrooms coming out of your logs. And then we're going to pick our log up, and we're going to lean it on something. Want to give it a little more space, a little more air, because if it's on the ground, you know, your mushrooms won't really grow very well on the bottom side. So, and at this point, you'll be able to harvest mushrooms at home very easily and cheaply. They will produce for about 2 years. If you get the really big logs, they can produce for up to 10 years.
Yeah, that's right. If you get those big round logs, maybe about 2 foot tall, and inoculate them, they will produce for about 10 years. It's pretty amazing. You can do some long-term sustainable growth with that. And it's more than just sustainable. It is regenerative. I think that we need to go beyond sustainable. We do need to be able to make systems that regenerate and create soil, not just maintain what we have. Because nature can easily do this. This is nature. One of nature's main functions is to create soil, and we really kind of just have to get out of the way. Nature is not broken. There's not something that we try to fix with nature. We came from nature. Nature fixes us. And in this process, I've learned about stacking. Mushroom stacking, microbial stacking, food stacking. You want a diverse collection of different inputs. Whenever you're taking mushroom supplements, Taking one is fine, but if you combine them with other ones, if it's kind of hard to see, but I have a study here. They took turkey tail, maitake, and shiitake, and they discovered that you get a better beneficial reaction from those three combined in unison than if you were to take each one individually in even higher doses. So there is a synergy whenever you start combining these things together, because if you go into the forest, it's not homogeneous. There's all kinds of diversity, all kinds of different plants, different trees, different bugs, different leaves. The more that we can get in there, the better. In fact, one of the doctors that I listen to, I'm pretty sure you guys know him, Dr. Zach Bush, he has this philosophy of eating from the rainbow. Whenever you eat, you want as many different colors on your palate as possible, and you can get a general idea that you're getting something that is going to have a well-rounded balance of health. Should what?
You shouldn't have combinations all the time. You should pulse them.
Sure, sure. You can start, let's say, for example, whenever I take cordyceps. I don't take cordyceps all the time. I take it maybe every other day because I can get a diminishing effect where I don't feel it the next day. And if you give yourself a little bit of a break, and you can get better responses from it. You're right, because if you start eating something all the time, you know, you're doing it three times a day or something, your body gets used to it and it actually starts to kind of combat it because it can be a little bit too much. Again, balance is the key. And that is another reason why I designed my company the way I did and the way that I do my extractions is you only need to take one. It's a very, very tiny, tiny amount. I'm not trying to dump a bunch of capsules down somebody's throat. You know, that's not the way that we should be trying to do this. And in fact, I hope one day that we don't need to take supplements, that we don't need to take any of these things. Unfortunately, at the moment, because the way our food systems are, we're kind of having to supplement. But I think the time is coming pretty quick that we can change that. Oh, no, it moved. Oh, well. These are the three blends that I've come up with. Yes, I know I'm doing a little bit of advertising. Sorry. I think they're important to talk about. I have a pre-workout, post-workout with cordyceps. It gives you energy, and then it also recovers your muscles. The one that I gave to Jen a lot was the brain, was my brain squared, which is what I call it now. It wasn't called then, but it's lion's mane, cordyceps, reishi, butterfly pea flower, and ashwagandha. These are all nootropics that have a secondary effect of prebiotic or digestive aid properties. So not only is it helping your brain, but it's also helping your gut so that I can hit that gut-brain access. Mm-hmm. And again, I do a dual extraction because it's important to get both of these things. If you get just one side of the medicinal compounds, you're only getting one half, which brings me to, you should always cook your mushrooms. When you're eating mushrooms, you need to cook them, because the medicine is locked inside the cell walls. These cell walls contain chitin. It's a very hard substance that keeps the medicines from coming out. So make sure to cook them. And then I also do an alcohol extraction, because the other half of the anti-cancer agents are actually only alcohol or fat soluble. So those do something called apoptosis, where parts of your immune system come in and do individual checks on your cells and tell them to keep going or to destroy themselves and incorporate themselves into your immune system. So when you take these triterpenes, they really help to keep that part of your immune system functioning. One thing I did want to talk about real quick, there are a couple of side effects. If you take chaga too much and you are susceptible to kidney stones, it can increase your risk of kidney stones. Number two, never take cordyceps if you have a fever or if you have a flu. It will heat up your body. It's an energy producer, so it will make your temperature increase, and if you already have a fever, you're going to make it worse. Number three, in the immune blend, general immune blend, it's multiple species. I added nattokinase because of the times that we're in. You know, we have damage from the spike protein, and nattokinase is an enzyme from a soy ferment, And Dr. Peter McCullough is a proponent of natto kinase, and this is just the sign of the times. If we were in a different era, it'd be a totally different ingredient. But right now, we need help to rid people of this spike protein. So how much of my speech were side effects? Should it be like a commercial? Constipation, diarrhea, upset stomach, renal failure, anal bleeding, sudden death, restless leg syndrome. Brought to you by Pfizer. With that being said, let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food, and go forth and grow your own and heal your bodies. Thank you all.
In 2020, as the World Economic Forum announced their vision of a great reset for humanity, the Freedom Cell Network responded by launching the Greater Reset, a 5-day worldwide activation focused on inspiring the people of the world to build an alternative vision for 2030 and beyond.
Our vision is one that respects individual liberty, decentralization, localization, and people-powered solutions over technocratic control.
Our first activation launched in January 2021 as hundreds gathered in Texas and Mexico and thousands tuned in online at the height of lockdowns. The Freedom Cell Network gathered once again in May 2021 for the Greater Reset expansion as we broaden the horizons of our movement.
In January 2022 and January 2023, we returned with integration and co-creation, rooting ourselves deeper by integrating the vast knowledge being shared and setting our intentions on co-creating the 2030 of our dreams.
Now, the Freedom Cell Network once again presents the Greater Reset 5 Manifestation in Morelia, Mexico, from January 17 through the 21st, 2024.
Join us for 5 days of community, solutions, celebration, music, education, and liberation. The Greater Reset 5 will include more than 40 top-notch speakers from around the world, live music from our conscious community, hands-on workshops, kids and family activities, and whatever else you can dream up.
Join us in Morelia in January 2024 so we can collaborate and build the parallel systems of the future. Join us for the next evolution of the Greater Reset Activation. Join us for the People's Resets.
Visit thegreaterreset.org to learn more.